The El Paso Museum of History is sharing virtual programming through the month of June, celebrating Pride Month. Youth from toddlers to teens can learn more about LGBTQ plus history from the EPMH's Youth Library recommended readings, discussing topics such as activism, gender identity, and more. LGBTQ plus national and local histories will be shared through social media history highlights. And on June 28th, also known as Pride Day, EPMH will open the virtual exhibition Historias Pride Edition, featuring oral histories from members of the El Paso LGBTQ plus community. Here to tell us all about it is Stephanie Gardea from the El Paso Museum of History. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina. I'm happy to be here.
It's so good to meet you, Stephanie.
Likewise, I'm so excited to talk about what the museum has to offer this month for Pride Month.
Me too. And you know, I was looking to, you can't have June and not feature Pride in some way, shape, or form. And then it dawned on me, you guys are just filling up the whole month. And I love this oral histories project that you've got going on. Will you tell us about it?
Yeah, of course, I would love to. So Historias Pride Edition is an iteration of exhibitions that we are continuously working to offer on behalf of the museum. The first iteration of Historias actually came about with our closure through quarantine and COVID-19. And we found a really successful way to share community history through this virtual exhibition that can be viewed on our digital wall archive, which is available at digie.org, D-I-G-I-E.org. And so the first iteration featured people's everyday experiences or something that they wanted to highlight from their own personal histories. And so with that, we wanted to continue doing different iterations of Historias, which brings us to this year's iteration of Historias, which is our Pride edition. The purpose of putting out this exhibition, virtual exhibition, is to share our local LGBTQ plus community history, both lived experiences or, you know, fond memories that they have. You know, we aren't the ones to say whether something is or isn't historical enough. That is the beauty of the digital wall in our community archive, is just kind of, you know, having everyone's stories out there, because we are the people that make history happen every single day in our city. And thus, with that being said, you know, we are inviting community members to contribute to this iteration of the archive and the virtual exhibition, in which we are highlighting oral histories from community members.
How did you gather them, or how did you find the folks to share their stories with you?
We kind of sourced out just people we personally knew, either from work colleagues to personal friendships and relationships. But that doesn't mean that that's the final list. With the kind of opening of this iteration of Historias, we also want the public to know that, you know, if you're interested in also contributing to this archive, you are more than welcome to. Please feel free to reach out to myself or the museum by any means possible and just let us know, like, hey, I would like to have my own contribution, you know, included in this archive. The purpose of Historias is to also, you know, give people the accessibility to contribute their own histories in a curated kind of way, but they are also welcome to do so just on the digital wall in the digital archive.
Nothing like hearing somebody tell their own story, right?
No, of course. Yeah. And that's kind of what we want to emphasize through this, is that, you know, you don't need to be, you know, somebody who was featured on CNN, or your name doesn't have to come out in history books to be deemed as, you know, historical or non-historical enough. You know, everyone's own story is valid as the next person's.
So tell us about the other activities that you all have going on. I mean, you guys have a whole lot of stuff slated. I know we talked about the recommended readings for young people. Will you kind of clue us into that and tell us more about how people can find it?
We do feature a few recommended readings for youth, acceptable for all ages. And these come from our youth library that we have here in the museum. The book selections that we have centralize LGBTQ plus themes, just kind of talking about topics that, you know, can further educate youth on, you know, what is LGBTQ plus mean, or topics that relate to those kinds of issues in the community. So I do actually have them with me here just so I can kind of show you and share with everyone. So we have Love Makes a Family from Sophie Beer. And these are for, this book selection is for baby to 4 years old. And it kind of just talks about, you know, family dynamics with people with two dads and two moms, or one mom and one dad. And, you know, how that doesn't really matter. It's love that makes a family. Then for our next selection, we have Julian at the Wedding, written by Jessica Love. And that talks about kind of like gender expression, and just kind of also embraces being a unique individual and embracing that as well. And that's for ages 4 to 8. Our next reading selection is for ages 8 to 12, a little bit older. It's titled Stonewall, A Building, An Uprising, A Revolution. And this talks about the history of the Stonewall riots and what happened on the nights, and kind of, you know, what resulted in that thereafter. It is actually written by Rob Sanders and illustrated by Jamie Kristoff, both of whom are identifying as gay men. So then you also get that added perspective in. And then for our older crowd, for youth ages 13 and up, we have Amazon's Abolitionists and Activists, A Graphic History of Women's Fight for Their Rights. This is written by Mickey Kendall and illustrated by Aster D'Amico, who D'Amico is actually identifying as a non-binary queer illustrator, which is awesome. But in the graphic novel, it discusses, you know, historic figures that contributed to a number of moments of history. But we do focus on LGBTQ plus histories that the graphic novel discusses, again, like the Stonewall riots and trans women leading movements and that sort of thing. Also, we are featuring historical highlights on our social media pages, where we talk about both national LGBTQ plus histories, but along with local LGBTQ plus histories. And all of those can be found on our social media pages. Our ats are at EP Museum of History. And you can also find our social media pages on our website at epmuseumofhistory.org.
So you do a lot of the education there at the El Paso Museum of History. Anything new that you learned as you were putting together this programming?
Yeah, I would say I always learn something new, kind of, you know, with any project I dip my toes into. And so, you know, it's always really fun to not just learn something new myself. The more, you know, I kind of research potential programming for our audience and our visitors, but to also just help showcase something that maybe somebody from our visitors could learn something new as well. So it's just always really fun to, you know, put together things for the museum and youth and the public in general to enjoy.
And why do you think it's important that we have this type of programming, and to make sure that people are knowing about Pride, knowing about our local histories, knowing, you know, that these books are out there, and, you know, just everything that you've got to offer?
So I think definitely the first part of that is, you know, letting the community know that they are reflected in the histories that we present to them, that they feel like when I walk through the doors of the museum, or, you know, just even scrolling through our social media, they see, you know, I feel represented, you know, we are welcomed here, we're given a platform here. Another thing is just to also, you know, break down barriers of what is, or maybe what someone doesn't think is acceptable to be seen in a museum. So just really, you know, giving our communities a platform and representation, and just kind of letting them know that they're valid and they are as much of a contributing factor to the history of our city.
So if we want to find out about your Pride programming, what's the best way to do that?
visit our social media pages on Twitter or Instagram. We've got the same handle for both. It's at EP Museum of History, or on our website at epmuseumofhistory.org. If anybody has any questions that they'd want to reach out regarding, you know, more resources to learning about these topics, to, you know, how to contribute to our Historias Pride edition, they are more than welcome to email me at digitalwall@elpasotexas.gov. And that's all spelled out.
And that's really, folks, anybody, like you said, you are an El Pasoan, you have your story, you want to share it, have at it.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we have to look forward to at the El Paso Museum of History? I know you guys are up and running. You've got the lowriders going on. You've obviously got all this pride programming. But anything you can preview for us, or what we can look forward to?
Yeah. So actually, we have recently opened up our newest exhibition titled The Devil You Say, The Saintly and Not So Saintly in Folk Art. So I do welcome the public in coming and seeing our newest exhibition up. And we've also just got, you know, as you said, our Low and Slow exhibition and our History of Sunset Heights exhibition on as well. And so many others.
How's it been coming out of COVID for you guys? Are you feeling normal again, or is it still taking a while?
Little by little, it's really nice to have our doors opened again since our reopening in April. We are on a shortened schedule. We are open from Thursdays to Saturdays from 10 to 6. So it is a bit of an adjustment, but nevertheless, we are just happy to be open and serving our public.
It's beautiful that you guys are open. Today, my guest has been Stephanie Gardea from the El Paso Museum of History. We've been talking all about their Pride Month programming, a lot of it. Actually, it's all virtual. The really cool part is on June 28th, they're going to open their virtual exhibition, Historias Pride Edition, featuring oral histories from members of the El Paso LGBTQ+ community. And if you have a story to share, they want to hear it. So by all means, feel free to share it. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina. It was a pleasure to be here.